wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good Tuesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hey, there was a Monday night football game last night. The Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers played an exciting preseason game. Well, exciting from the standpoint, I guess, the 49ers won the game. 24-15 if you count scores and you're into that kind of thing. But here's the thing. Jimmy Garoppolo made his return after the ACL injury last year, and he was miserable. He was terrible. He was 1-for-6, 0 yards, through a screen pass that didn't go anywhere. Finished the game with a 0 quarterback rating. Okay, so let me ask this question to people in the NFL. These games, right, these games that we are having to analyze because we don't have any other games to talk about yet until you actually kick off the season in September, do they matter or do they not matter? Because if they matter, shouldn't I be worried if I'm a 49ers fan about my quarterback? Shouldn't I be up in arms going, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Jimmy Garoppolo isn't his same old self. This is the guy that we put the whole franchise on. Or is it, all right, well, he just came back. What do you want? I mean, he played a couple series. He's getting back from an injury. This is what these games are all about. So what is it? Because I have always said that if you need all these preseason games to determine your team, good luck. Go ahead. Go do it. That's fine. Do as many as you want. I don't care. But also, don't pretend like these games are so meaningful, they're valuable, that they suck the money out of my wallet if I'm a season ticket holder or I'm just a general fan. Because on the one hand, if you're the 49ers and you spin it to me that, again, these are preseason, he's just getting his feet wet, he's coming back from a major injury, you know what? We are not really concerned. We're going to continue to work with him, and he'll be ready to go when we kick off the season. That's great. That's probably what I'd want to hear, but not at whatever price I'm paying for the ticket, right? That's what I'm concerned about. Now, I know this game was in Denver. Joe Flacco, the guy the people in Denver are putting their hopes on, he was 7-for-11 for 59 yards in a brief period outing. Vic Fangio's defense looked pretty good, at least from the starter standpoint, until everybody else got in and this game got out of hand in the second half. But, again, going back to Garoppolo, I think he'll be fine. I think most people think he'll be fine. But from a wallet standpoint, it ain't fine.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so, again, last night, was it meaningful or not that Garoppolo had a 0 quarterback rating? I don't think it matters. I think Garoppolo will be fine. But I can see if you're a 49er fan going, boy, that didn't look very good against some of the Denver Broncos starters in a game where Vic Fangio's ratcheting it up a little bit. But it goes back to the same old argument. We have this every single year about preseason. How valuable are they really? Right? If you're a coach in the National Football League, how much value do you put on these games? I mean, to a point where do you want to play? Do you feel like your veterans need to be in these games for a series and a half? And the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because we are heading into the third preseason game of the year. It's going to start on Thursday for a lot of teams. And for those games, starters get a lot of playing time for a lot of teams. They almost get a half at some point. Right? And I don't know if you need a half. I mean, if you're Drew Brees, do you need a half of work in a preseason game? I mean, if you're some teams, maybe you do need to get out some cobwebs. But I saw this article that Jeff Legwall wrote at ESPN.com that had me go, oh, okay, here we go. And the title of the article is, NFL joint practices to replace preseason games? Not so fast. Now, I'm on the record saying I don't like joint practices. I don't know why I don't like them. I don't like them. But apparently they're popular enough that they could, that some coaches would like to replace preseason games and just have joint practices. No, I like the joint practices.
The reason why you don't like them, because there's more fights than practice.
That's what I said. I don't like them because I don't feel, look, I've seen a few, I've covered a few. I just don't see the value in them. And I'm not a coach, so I'm just speaking as a guy looking at this on the outside in. All I see is guys fighting each other. I feel like every joint practice I've ever gone to, because it's blazing hot and people are frustrated, and there's always another guy that you don't know that's trying to get the best of you. Everybody's trying to make a team or trying to make an impression, so they're willing to gamble a little bit on the blocking or on the tackling or whatever it is. And next thing you know, there's all this separation. To me, it doesn't seem worth the hassle. Right? It's just, you know, if you want to play a preseason game, you want to play six, play six. You want to play four, you want to play two, I don't care.
Not only that, but don't you get the feeling that coaches aren't going to really practice? Like, they're just going to do, like, the basic drills because they don't want to give anything away.
Absolutely. Cliff Kingsbury brought this up the other day. People are commenting on Kyler Murray not having a good second preseason game like he did in the first preseason game. And Kingsbury said the obvious, which is we're not opening up the playbook, so I don't really care. Like, it's like we're playing pretty much – he's basically learning basic plays. Right? So it's irrelevant when we get to the regular season.
That can also
then
be
our
a bad
full
thing.
Offense is going to be in. Well, if he can't run basic plays.
If he can't play basic plays.
Right?
We
might have a problem. But he was quick. I mean, he was quick to point out, look, guys, I mean, don't freak out over this. We're not opening up the playbook, which is what you get in these games. Right? But again, I'll repeat what I've been saying before. In the end, I had the game on last night. Okay, listen, I had the game on last night, but I was on my laptop doing some research for the show. I was doing my home budgeting with my wife. My son was doing some homework. I was talking to my daughter about some things. The game was just one of those games that was just on in the background, and every now and then I'd pop up my head and watch it, right? And that was really it. That's all preseason is to me. I don't break down the notebook. I don't write down notes. I don't care about any real statistics. And the only reason I brought up Garoppolo statistics is because that's the only thing that came out of this game that seems to be noteworthy to people who were there and covered it, which is, hey, Garoppolo's back from an ACL injury from last year. And oh, by the way, he was terrible. Okay, great. He was terrible. But the game doesn't matter. And the game is irrelevant. And maybe this performance is irrelevant. But the NFL is trying to tell people it's irrelevant, or at least the people within the NFL are trying to say it, right? Coaches have always said, look, I'm not going to play my guys. I don't get too worked up over anything, et cetera, et cetera. But on the flip side, the NFL owners are saying, oh no, these are important games because you should pay $250 for them. Right? Or you should pay $85 for them or $130 based on where the seat is in the stadium. If you have $250 season tickets per game, you're paying $250 for these games. So the NFL always, every single year, gives us this dual approach to these preseason games. Some coaches, like Kyle Shanahan, says, you don't need four preseason games. Great. As a fan, I'm like, well, I don't need it either. Right? If you don't need it, then why do I need it? And why do you need my money for it? And on the one hand, the NFL is like, no, actually, you know, these are valuable in terms of player development and the way the team is coming together. And all. Don't you dare not pay money for these. Well, no. I mean, these games should be $10 for crying out loud. I mean, give me a break. I mean, seriously, look, I know people. The only time they could get to a Denver Bronco game, Bronco games have been sold out for a generation and a half. I mean, my God, forever. And I know some people who can't get to a game because preseason tickets are available all over the place. And that's basically the only game they can get to. Okay, that's fine. And kids love it because it's football and they don't really know. And they're just seeing some guys play. And it's pretty cool to be in the stadium. That's what it should be about. The idea that these games cost the same in your season ticket package as a week 15 game and as fighting for a playoff spot is insanity to me.
No, you know, MLB, I know most stadiums do it. I know here in Houston, the Astros do it every year. They have a fan fest where it's open to the public. Everyone, you know, come on in, see the ballpark, run the bases, you know, take a look at what's going on. It's to entice you to come back and actually see a live game there. This, I mean, the NFL should do something similar to that. I'm not saying they should give it away for free, but like you said, $10, make it a fan experience. You know, thank the fans before the season even starts.
That is a great idea. Mike Vaccaro brought up a similar situation in the New York Post today. He's saying, look, in college football, they have built themselves a multi-billion dollar company of popularity without the need for this, right? Coaches have developed. Look, Auburn, for example, is going to play Oregon to start the season, right? It's a good, tough game. They're going up against Justin Herbert. They're not looking to play three or four preseason games against some other teams around the area to get ready for the game against Oregon. When the game hits, they should be ready. They've done it with scrimmages. They've done it with practices. They've done it with good coaching evaluation. They'll be ready to go, right? But you know what they did in the spring? They had a big, big scrimmage game that was a fan fest where people could go to Jordan-Hare Stadium and watch the Tigers play. Alabama does it. All the college teams do it, right? They all do it. And you can go there. You can watch. They play a big game, offense versus defense. There's like a fan fest. Some schools allow you to kind of line up and get autographs. And I think the NFL, Mike Vaccaro is saying this is what the NFL should do.
Yeah.
Right? The NFL should do something like this. If you don't want these games, if coaches are all are starting to get in unison that these games are wasting time and they don't need them, and joint practices are better, and there are other ways rather than do this, then have a fan fest. I think your idea is brilliant. It's great.
Just have fun. And you know, we go in, I mean, as fans, we know that, okay, you know what, we may not see our heroes play. Or if our heroes do play, you know, like said in the scrimmage, those guys aren't going to try to hurt one another. So you might not see that, you know, that blow up tackle that you hope to see during a regular season game. You understand that because, I mean, especially if it's an inter squad scrimmage, like what Alabama always does, crimson versus white.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Simple game.
You know that they're not going to try to kill each other.
Right, and they're still getting work.
But they're still getting work in. You're still seeing decent football. You're seeing tackling. But as a fan, you know going into that, like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to see someone get lit up today. But I'm fine with that. I just want to see some football. I just want to see my team play.
You know, see how they look. Get excited, right? My in-laws, big Florida Gator fans, they go to the blue-orange game all the time. Orange and blue game, whatever they call it, in Gainesville. They love it. They love it. Yes, it's just practice. It's a scrimmage, but they love it because they're really into the team. They're really into the program. They really want to know about recruits or how this junior who played last year and emerged late is now, he's going to get the starting job as a senior and how he's looking. They're all into that. And I think we can do the same at the NFL level. But this is not so much it's inconvenient for me in preseason. Again, I'm not watching as much as I watched in regular. I'm not paying attention. But at the same time, the way this league conducts business is not fair to the fans. It's not fair to season ticket holders to pay full price for games that they're admitting on the other end are not as valuable and not important. Again, if they were important, if the league wanted to, if everybody was towing the company line, right, that this is as valuable economically to you as a week 13 game, then Jimmy Garoppolo's situation last night should be dire, right? The 49ers should be coming out publicly very concerned. Kyle Shanahan should say, yeah, this is a real problem for us right now, and we got to get this straightened out immediately. But he doesn't, right? He doesn't. No one is sweating. They know it's going to take time coming off an ACL injury. He was out of rhythm. It's his first game action. He's going up against a defense, in a first-team defense in the Broncos that's ratcheting it up a bit for the home crowd, and Garoppolo struggled. Big whoop. It's a preseason struggle. But at the same time, if you were a fan of the 49ers and was in Denver last night, and you happened to get your hands on tickets, you paid good money for them. And you paid good money to watch the 49ers and the starting quarterback struggle, and yet the NFL goes, yeah, but this, yeah, doesn't really count. Yeah, whatever. It's nothing. Well, if it's nothing, it's nothing. So price these games accordingly. Make it so, because you can't have it both ways. You cannot tell me it's valuable to my pocketbook, but not valuable in terms of what exactly happened. And that's the problem. But I like the idea of just, look, if you want to do joint practices, if you feel like you get enough work out of that, great. And you want to do a big fan fest, charge money, people come, they get a poster, they get some stuff, they get signed, they can meet some players, et cetera, have a good time. I think it's great.
Keep it cheap.
Have a good, yeah, exactly.
Make it so a family of four can go.
So yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
maybe have a throwback like day and say, you know what, it's fan fest. Our league was, the NFL was created, and this year, let's just make ticket prices that much.
Right. And this is not I want to make this clear. This is not the same as sometimes you have an open practice at the stadium. Some teams do that. That's different. I mean, what they're doing, we're talking about a real, real open, like, come in, just like college. Just make it like, just like college. Make it an all day thing, all afternoon thing, whatever. Have players more accessible. I've gone to plenty of Broncos scrimmages at the stadium where fans get to go, but it's not the same as a college one. But college spring game is different. It's different than just a open practice at the stadium.
Because we know NFL fan travels. I mean, you saw firsthand in Nashville.
Yeah.
I had every team represented with a fan somewhere walking around downtown Nashville.
Yep.
So they're going to travel.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. So, all right, we'll come more from the NFL. Antonio Brown news a little bit. We're still kind of hanging on to that story. I'll tell you the latest next. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So the Antonio Brown saga continues a little bit.
Thank God.
A little bit. He did show up to practice yesterday.
Yep.
So good for Mike Mayock.
And when you heard that, didn't you think, like, okay, we're done.
We're done.
It's over.
Yep, I thought so. But then he's filed another grievance for his helmet. He wants the one-year grace period. Now, this is such a hard story to follow, because I'm getting confused with all the different makers and designs of the helmet.
He wants a one-year grace period? Didn't he have, like, 5-year grace period?
Yeah, he did.
I just wanted to make sure that I have my grace periods in order.
Exactly. Okay, so apparently the one helmet that he has is less than 10 years old. He's trying to find this loophole. They shut down this loophole, but he's filing a grievance to reopen that, because the helmet company that he has, the brand that he has, was not on the list of the helmet models that was banned in 2018. But apparently the helmet model that he has, that he wants, doesn't pass the test. Ugh!
Does he have money in this helmet company?
I don't know.
Is it a best friend's company, like a childhood buddy that he grew up with company?
Yeah, right? Like a friend of his is making helmets. He's like backing him up.
Like, I'll wear it on the field. Don't worry.
He is saying that he should receive the same one-year grace period that was given to players like Tom Brady, who ultimately won a Super Bowl wearing a helmet that the NFL had deemed to be unsafe for use. So Brady won a Super Bowl with a helmet, then he had to change helmets, he changed helmets, and now Antonio Brown is saying, yeah, well, I'd like the same thing. Well, yeah, but the problem is this, you had plenty of time to figure this out. You're all on the same page. It's not Brady was told his timeline is this, and you were told your timeline was that. That's not the way this works. Everybody was supposed to be in compliance this year. Yeah, everybody was supposed to be compliant this year. That's it. If you wanted a grace period, you got some time, yes. But they said, okay, if you got a year last year, and now he wants a year this year.
That makes sense,
I guess. But
here's the issue. Let's see what happens.
Fine, you want to roll with this, Antonio Brown? Go roll with this as much as you want, as long as you show up for practice.
Do you want to be drooling every time you're walking? That's fine.
It's right. Exactly.
Eat baby food for the rest of your life? Go for it.
My God. We've been saying this the whole time. You're not going to win this in the way you want to win this, because the NFL is always now. You guys did this, and good for you. As a players union, good for you. You forced this league to start going safety, 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 safety. Right? For years you were saying you're not paying attention to the concussion issue. And the NFL said, oh, yes, we are. And he said, oh, no, you're not. Right? Oh, no, you're not. And the league said, okay, All right, we're going to start doing this more. All right, and they started imposing. Remember when they started imposing all these rules about hitting the quarterback and everybody went crazy? Oh, this is not football. We're just going to put flags on the quarterbacks now? But this was the league going, yep, but this is what we're talking about. Right? You guys wanted safety. You wanted safety, and this is, we're going to start doing things like this. And we're going to start implementing the way, changing the way you guys tackle. And we're going to start changing the way you guys block and changing the way you guys hit and all of those things. And everybody screamed and hollered, but this is what the league was, this is how the league was answering all of this. So now it comes to the helmet. We're going to try to make, take advantage of new technological advances in the way helmets are made. All right, so we're going to get rid of the older helmets. We're going to get into the newer helmets that really help cushion the blow. All right, so we're all going to be doing this. Now you have some players that are saying, yeah, but okay, we'll give you a little bit of time to adjust. Okay, we can understand that, but we're all moving. We're all moving over here, and that's a battle you're not going to win. You're just not going to win against the league. The league is going to fight and say, no, 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 we've done it. This is the way we want it, because this is what everybody is been saying and screaming at us for years and years, that we didn't care. And then the moment we do care, now we've got a few outliers who say, oh, no, 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 I want it the old way. If I'm the league, I go, nobody gets it the old way. Nope, nope, and nope, because you guys come right back to us and scream and holler when you feel like we don't care about your safety, right? I mean, remember, The league used to run these ads. Do you remember the ads that they used to run where they would tout the safety initiatives that they would put together? Like, you don't see this in other sports. Like, you didn't see the Major League Baseball talk about the new ways baseball was safer.
Or running spots of like, yes, we're going to have nets up in every stadium.
Exactly.
Come such and such date.
Exactly. Or hockey, right? Well, we've got new hockey methods to keep your head up and all this other stuff. And we're making impacts against the boards a lot softer, et cetera, et cetera. No, the NFL was putting out these ads. Right. They had Tom Brady in one of them, for crying out loud. They were talking about all the innovations that they were doing to make the game safer. And why were they doing that? They were hitting mothers. They were trying to reach the mothers who said, look, your kids can start playing football now, because this is going to trickle all the way down to the high school level or Pop Warner level. It's going to trickle down. So you can feel safe. You can feel, and the game's never really truly safe, but you can feel safer that we are doing everything we possibly can to make this game better for your children.
You know, you brought up an interesting point, because you mentioned hockey. When you and I were kids, it was commonplace if a hockey player lost his helmet during the game. Some took the ice without even wearing one.
Yeah. They did have a grandfathered thing,
right?
When they started implementing the helmets. Like, if you were an old player and you didn't play with the helmet, you didn't have to. Then they phased that out. I know. I don't know why. The pucks flying in the way, I can't even see them. I don't know
how you would move your head. That's why I always give it up. I think hockey goalie is one of the toughest positions.
Oh, unbelievable.
But the point I was trying to make was, okay, they saw a change was needed. You're just like, you know what, to be safer, we have to require all of our players to wear helmets. And I'm sure there was some backlash with that, but you know, it's one of those that's just universally accepted. And that's all they're trying to do. The league is just trying to make things safer. And it's beyond me that there's one guy who's like, well, you know what? I understand that you're wanting to be safer, but I want to use my helmet that, you know, I got lit up, and ever since then I haven't acted right.
Right. That's the thing, right? Yeah, that's the thing. I am blown away by this. And again, I'm a newbie to the helmet technology. I'm willing to admit this is not my area of expertise. And I am sensitive to the issue of, hey, look, I play a game where I need my vision, and I need my vision a certain way. I can understand that argument. But it's 2019. You're a professional athlete. These companies, I can't imagine, I can't believe we can't design a helmet specifically for you that's in compliance and allows you to see and allows you to do the things that you want to do. I'm blown away by this. I mean, look, I'm sure there are golfers on the PGA, and it's not really the same thing because it's safety versus performance, but I'm sure there are golfers who love a particular driver, right? They just love the way it feels, but they're 119th in driving distance, and they just need the technology to get to get the ball out there further. So they go to these club manufacturers and they will build a specialized club that does that but has the same feel of your old favorite driver that you can hit 250 yards max. I'm sure there's a helmet company that does the exact same thing for the helmet, but it's important because it's safe.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Again, preseason action in the NFL Week 3 for a lot of teams. For the Broncos, that was their third last night. They played an extra one because they were in the Hall of Fame game. Which listen, I hate to say this like this, but if you're a coach that hates preseason, then you would hate getting the Hall of Fame game. I think you would rather suit up like 30 fans to play in the Hall of Fame game than any of your players. Like, oh, I got to go to Canton. Oh, God, we got five of these things. Oh, my God. I'd lose my mind. But the Broncos and the Falcons have that problem. And the Falcons have already complained about. All right. The Falcons are the ones last week that I went nuts on. Last went on Friday, where he said Matt Ryan got sacked three times in the preseason game.
Why?
Maybe once, but that's all. That's all he should have been sacked. Dan Quinn. Listen, then the Jets coach Adam Gase. The Jets lost a player in a preseason game. It was like Avery Williamson, and Adam Gase is blaming himself. Williamson tore an ACL in the game Thursday against the Falcons. And Gase is blaming himself. This is in a regular season game, you don't get this because that's where the money is made. That's where you make your money, playing in those games. But when you lose a player in a preseason game out for the year, the coach goes, yeah, it's my fault. Instead of saying, well, I had to play him, right? And then he immediately went, well, Le'Veon Bell ain't going to play in these games. Right?
Exactly.
Of course, a smart move.
You know, if you're one of those players, do you just realize the pecking order?
Oh.
Your lot in life is... You know, if you're one of these guys who's playing a quarter, two quarters, but you're, you know, projected to be a starter, and then you look over to the bench, you're like, why isn't that guy playing?
Yeah, exactly.
You
right.
guess he's more valuable to the club?
Well, the New Orleans Saints, right? Taysom Hill, the quarterback, he had to play because Teddy Bridgewater was sick against the Chargers when they played the Chargers.
Yep.
So he wasn't feeling well. They weren't going to play Drew Brees.
No, not at all.
Right? So he was like, no, we're not playing Drew Brees. So he got to play a lot. Hill got to play a lot. He threw two touchdowns in like 130 something yards. And now they're like, well, there's our new guy. There's, and then Sean Payton is comparing him to Steve Young. And I'm like, where is this coming from? In a preseason game. But look, those are the kind of things that can happen.
Well,
but
have you ever
you
seen
do
Steve
that
Young
because,
in a preseason game? That's what he's comparing
maybe that's,
to.
That's true, right? Sean Payton's like, I don't mean Steve Young, the Super Bowl quarterback. No. I mean when it was August and they played against the Giants.
He was full of rust.
Right? When he was like, but those are the kind of things that happen. Listen, I covered a lot of preseason games with the Broncos. It used to drive me crazy. I mean, I would go to the game. And then the next day I would do the show and I would get all these calls from people going, man, did you see blah, 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 blah. I'm like, guys, he's not going to make the roster. Or if he does, that's not the guy you want to play. Right. Listen, I know you're all loving Bradley Van Pelt. Oh, God. I remember Bradley Van Pelt who played his college ball at Colorado State. He was the son of Brad Van Pelt, who was a defensive player for the Giants.
Any relation to Scott Van Pelt?
No, but that was my... So Bradley Van Pelt was a local quarterback, right? He played his college ball in Colorado at Colorado State. And he had a great preseason game. I mean, just really, really good. He looked really good. Confident, but he was going up against, I mean, not second stringers, like third stringers. I mean, it was late in the game. And this created so much a buzz, and I was just rolling my eyes because it's a combination of this wishful thinking and this sort of ideal perfect world and just somebody just grabbing onto something, right? Just taking something and trying to grab onto it. Well, he did play and he had some fill-in work, but it never turned into an NFL career. And that's where these games can sort of give you some sort of false idea of a player and their ability. It doesn't mean they're all going to turn into busts. Certainly you can have some great preseason performances that turn into real NFL careers that turn into, you know, some real money-making contracts. But a lot of times you have to really evaluate what exactly is going on in these games. What is the competition? And as we pointed out, what exactly is the other team doing in these games in terms of their full-blown game preparation? Remember, they're not breaking down your film, right? They're not spending hours and hours and hours and hours and hours into the middle of the night breaking down your tendencies. Right? Wait till the regular season when that actually does happen. Right? When they're going up against you and there's some assistant coach up till 2 o'clock in the morning going, well, he puts his right hand on his thigh just before he does something with the ball, whatever it is, right? Wait till they do that and they start prepping their guys for that. Then we'll see if you have a career. But in a world where, and listen, if there is any value to these games at all, it's the fourth one, really, because the fourth one is when guys go, I gotta make it into this league. The only way I'm gonna make it in this league, I'm probably going to get cut when the rosters get down to 53. I need some tape. I'm want to be available when the rash of injuries start pouring into this league in the regular season, and they are going to need a middle linebacker. And I played pretty well in this game, and I can showcase my skills as a guy that can get an opportunity. But when you're talking about the third preseason game, when you're talking about starters playing in the first half, and they say, well, that's where it really matters, right? The starters play the first half of the preseason games. They get the most work in the preseason game. Can I ask a question? How many of you are really excited about your starters getting all of that work in the third preseason game? How many of you really are excited about your starting quarterback going out there and getting a half of work? Please. Come on. Some of you don't want to ever have your starters see these games. It's a scary time. It's a scary time. There's no red jerseys for Drew Brees when he's out there, right? There's no red jerseys for Ben Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers. If they get hit, they get hit. And again, regular season, I'll take it. If Ben Roethlisberger goes down in week one, fine. That's just the price we pay for the sport we love. But if he goes down in the third preseason game because some sort of guideline was he was supposed to play at the 8 minute mark of the second quarter, I'll lose my mind. Are you kidding me? A season down the toilet for the third preseason game in mid-August? You gotta be kidding me. I'd go crazy. And of course I'd blame Mike Tomlin. So I was screaming about Dan Quinn last week. If you're a Falcons fan and Dan Quinn puts Matt Ryan in a game and he gets sacked three times, I would blow up.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? I would lose my mind.
Pitchforks. Storm the castle.
Are you kidding? Our Arthur Blank would have to fight us off. Are you kidding?
No, I think Arthur Blank would be leading the charge.
He probably would be leading the charge, going, you got to be kidding. Not one, not two, but three? You let him get sacked three times?
I mean, you don't even allow the first sack because you know there was a close call before the first sack.
Right,
came.
Probably, right. Ooh, the pressure. Oh, my God, my offensive line stinks.
Once that one close call came, get him out of there, please.
Yeah, this is why I was praising Doug Marrone last week. Remember when Doug Marrone was like, Nick Foles ain't playing in this game? Yeah. My offensive line stinks. My offensive line is awful. He's literally admitting that. He's saying, my offensive line is not ready. I got a number of injuries to my starters that we're nursing up. So I basically have got an offensive line full of guys that may or may not make this team, and I'm going to put Nick Foles behind that? You're out of your mind. I'm not, no chance. No chance. And that's exactly what I would do. That's exactly what I would do if I was a coach. I mean, I'd be just like praying to God I get through this.
That's what preseason is. Most of the time the coaches are just sitting there just hoping and praying that no one gets hurt. I think preseason is probably more stressful than regular season.
It's got to be. Listen, if you're a 49ers fan, here's some information from last night's game that I hope makes it better, right? Jimmy Garoppolo was 1-for-7 for no yards and with a 0 quarterback rating, but he didn't tear his ACL again. Right.
Listen,
right?
When Tom Brady, what was that, 2014, when Tom Brady tore his ACL in the first game of the season?
No, it was 2008.
2008?
Yep.
What was like the second play, third play of the game?
Yeah.
When he did that, you were like, you know what? Well, that's unfortunate because you have to have him on the field. You got to have Tom Brady playing in a regular season game. Had that happened in preseason, oh my God, New England would explode.
Are you kidding? Nothing worse than the whole season goes down.
And that's all the difference is, I'm sorry, if it happens in a preseason game, you're losing a franchise player over a meaningless game. You lose him in game one, like first drive of the series. It might have been like second play, third play for Tom Brady. You can stomach that and say, yeah, it's just
the price you pay, right?
That's just bad luck.
It's just bad luck. It's the price we play
but
in the
you
game.
You can't get mad.
We love.
You can't storm the castle with pitchforks.
No. But Jimmy Garoppolo left the game healthy. Zero quarterback rating, but left the game healthy. God bless him.
He's standing.
Exactly. It's you know what? It's this is the one thing. I think. Robert on Twitter, bubble wrap sales must be way up in NFL cities.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly right. Because I was one of those guys, and I said I was in the minority at the time. Because, I mean, listen, nothing made people more angry than all these protect the quarterback rules, right, that the NFL was implementing during the regular season, the way the quarterback got tackled, et cetera, et cetera. Because there's a lot of old school football guys out there that played the game a lot more rough than the game probably wants to be today. And I understood that. But I said, guys, look, this is the most valuable position in all of sports, right? I mean, you're an owner, right? You're paying $30 million, $25 million, whatever it was you're at the time paying for these quarterbacks. That's a major investment. That's money out of your pocket that's going to these guys. And you want them to play. You want them to be productive. Imagine if you were a valuable guy at your company, real valuable, right? But you couldn't do your job, right? You were making big six-figure salary or whatever it was you were making, but you couldn't do your job at all, and you were still collecting checks. If you were the company, you would probably find a way to prevent that from happening, right? So the league is protecting its biggest investment, which is the quarterback. And so I said, I know for you old school guys hate this, but this is just the new business way they're going to do business. And I feel like eventually the NFL is going to have to come around to figuring out maybe these games, these preseason games, we can do something with them. Now, I get it. Believe me, I get it. When there's money to be made, there's money to be made. And if they can charge full price for these games, all right, fine. God bless them. But if you have enough of these young coaches like Kyle Shanahan, like Sean McVay, like Zach Taylor, like, you know, these guys who are saying, hey, I don't need these anymore. All right. Can we redo this? Maybe there's enough groundswell that things can change. I'm not holding my breath. Believe me, I'm not holding my breath, but that's how it would start. If it's true that they like joint practices better than they like preseason games, okay, maybe we'll just cut down the preseason games, but I'm not holding my breath, but maybe that's where it starts. That when the younger coaches start saying, hey, let's reevaluate this. Because again, you guys, I don't want to play my guys. My guys don't want to play. I don't need them to play. I don't want to play them at all. And that's it. So, and also don't remember, like back in the 70s, they used to play six of these things. So there is precedent for them to be reduced a little bit. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, rolling along on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Real quick on Twitter. Michael brings up a interesting story. He said in the 2009 preseason, rookie Julian Edelman played slot receiver and punt returner. Wes Welker, claiming an injury, was on the sideline after Edelman ran a punt return for a touchdown. Belichick walked over to Welker and asked him, ever heard of Wally Pipp? I have Wally Pipp syndrome, actually. You know what Wally Pipp syndrome is? Wally Pipp syndrome is that feeling of, because Wally Pipp was the first baseman for the Yankees that wasn't feeling well, and Lou Gehrig took over in a game, and then Wally Pipp never got his job back. And I have Wally Pipp syndrome. I don't like it. Like, I don't like taking time off. I get nervous about what the, like, I always am like, get the worst sports talk show host you could possibly find and have him fill in for me. It's a little thing I have. But that's a very good point. Yeah, sometimes you can lose your job in preseason, but still, you don't want to. But you got guys playing hard. I mean, seriously, you got guys in the fourth preseason game, and I don't know if that was – probably that was a third or whatever it was. But in the fourth preseason games, guys play really hard. Guys, because guys know, man, give me some tape.
What do you think Wes Welker was going through his mind at that time?
Oh, I'm sure he was like, oh,
Belichick comes over and is like, you ever hear of Wally Pipp?
Yeah, right? Now you're like,
probably
oh,
sitting there
boy.
Like, no, never
He probably thought but... it would be cool. I'm not feeling too good, coach. I don't want to play in this game.
Yeah.
Belichick's like, all right, whatever. I'll find a new guy.
Goes home and Googles Wally Pipp and is like, right. Son of a...
Right, that's exactly right. I wonder if Welker knew who Wally Pipp was when he was asked that. He said, I don't know. What do you mean Wally Pipp? And he Googled and went, oh, no.
Oh, really? No.
Lou Gehrig set the all-time consecutive game played streak at the time.
I better Google this Edelman guy.
All right, maybe figure out who this Edelman person is. Oh, God. So do we have time for your temperature story on
Twitter?
Go ahead.
It's just instant reaction, right? There all right, you go. Yeah. That's blazing Twitter right now. It says, new report shows these are the recommended temps for energy efficiency. Are you ready?
Yes.
You should probably keep it at 78 degrees when you're home.
78 degrees in the house?
We're not done yet. 85 when you're at work or away. I get that.
I get that.
But here's the one where everyone's up in arms with, and I am too. 82 degrees when you're sleeping.
No way. Okay, who came up with this nonsense?
Scientist.
Are they saying this if you don't have any money for your electric bill?
I don't know.
Is this a save the planet kind of thing?
82 degrees when you're sleeping?
No.
That's, no.
No, no, no.
I'm at least 10 degrees below that.
Easily.
Even in the wintertime. It's like,
God, there's nothing worse than being stuffy when you're sleeping.
Well, that's
it's
why
terrible.
I figured, you know, Mr. No AC for a better part of a summer month.
Oh, I'm enjoying the frosty cold air that's coming out of that thing now. I'm using modern technology.
Yeah, 82 and using
degrees
it well. When I'm
sleeping. 82 degrees? That's amazing. I would be dead because I wouldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep in that weather. That'd be terrible.